love, that you would encourage them, Lord. I pray that they would find a great peace and a great joy as they find you today, and they would know how much we love them as a church body and how much we appreciate them, Lord. Let this be a special day for them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Good deal. Happy Father's Day. I thought it'd be a good idea in honor of Father's Day to have a bring your kids to work day. So I brought my kids today. So we're going to get into the Word this morning. So if you will join me in prayer, we'll ask God's blessing upon it. Oh, man. Heavenly Father, we thank you again. And now comes a time where we open our hearts and our minds to your holy word, realizing, Lord, without you, we're nothing. That we need you every day, every hour, every second, every step, Lord. Lord, as we come into your word, as we engage our hearts and our minds, our soul, our spirit, our strength, I pray, Lord, that you would reveal these truths to us, Lord. And Lord, we're so grateful that you've given us your word. It's an anchor to our soul. It keeps us safe in a time of deception and unclear thoughts and ideas, that we know that we have the truth and the truth sets us free, Lord. I pray that you administer your truth by your Holy Spirit to each heart here, that whatever place a person is in, that you would speak to them, that you would change them and mold them. We thank you that your word is not just information, but it's living, it's active, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and that it'll do a work on our heart that we need so desperately. And so, Lord, we look to you, the author and finisher of our faith, to do your will through this teaching. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you have your Bibles, take them out and turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to finish this chapter this morning. And the last couple of weeks, we've been discussing this theme about staying the course, how to consistently and faithfully follow Christ. You don't have to be a Christian too long to realize that's a hard thing to do, that as you begin your journey, the Bible talks about this life as a Christian. It talks about it as being a race or a walk. We're to interact with God through this whole race in order to take us across the finish line. Sometimes we get into our life to such an extent where it's hard to think about finishing. And yet so often in the Bible we hear about these rewards. We hear about this destiny. We hear about a finish line. And as Christians, we need to keep that in mind and keep that in sight. On that road, on that course, on that race, in our Christian life, there are many traps. There are many barriers. There are many things that keep us from faithfully following Christ consistently. We all know them. We all encounter them. It doesn't take much. And yet, through all that, we have been given everything pertaining to life and godliness. Sometimes it's just a matter of knowing how to walk, knowing how to battle, knowing how to negotiate those obstacles and those difficult things that look to sidetrack us. Sometimes it's just the realization that there really is a war. There really is counter forces and things looking to ambush our faith in Christ. Satan is around every corner lurking to steal and rob. He wants to rip us off of all the good things that God has for us in our life. And I really believe that God wants to bless us more than we even want to be blessed. But we need to know how to walk. Most importantly, we need to know Jesus Christ personally and intimately. As we look into the scripture, we're just going to start in verse 32. Just to give you a feel for what's going on, and then we're going to focus on verses 35 to the end. Keeping in mind that the writer of this letter was writing to people that were really struggling. Writing to people that were tempted to move away from this great truth of grace and love and mercy given without merit by Jesus Christ to all those who believe. They were tempted because of struggles and difficulties, pressures. You guys know pressure? It's a lot of pressure. They were tempted because of pressure to sort of take the foot off the gas pedal a little bit, to ease up on their Christianity, to soften their declaration. They were tempted to just be a little bit more like everybody else. Just don't be so serious about this faith. And it seems as if they were sort of moving in the wrong direction or beginning to. So notice in verse 32. He says, but recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings. And this is interesting because I don't know if you realize this, but if you're a Christian here today, you've signed up for suffering. We all are part of this club that we really maybe initially didn't realize we were going to be part of. That's why the Bible says, hey, don't think it's strange when you go through these various trials. Woven into the fabric of our walks with God is this very thing, struggle and suffering. The Bible is full of reasons why, and the simple answer is, Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you too. Did they hate Jesus? Oh, yeah. And as followers of Christ, we, in most cases, are not going to be the darlings of the world. We make people feel uncomfortable by our simple profession of faith. And so woven into that is this understanding that there's struggle, there's suffering. And these Christians, they started off and they were illuminated and they found the love of God and it was exciting and they started to get plugged into things. They were active in their faith and then other things came along with that. The struggle began. He says in verse 33, he says, partly while you are made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. We talked about that last week. They had incredible faith. Their faith was so deep that they weren't moved by their stuff getting ripped off, by people taking advantage, by being public spectacles. What was the reason? It's because they knew something. They knew something that was involved in that. They knew that what they went through echoed on into eternity, that it mattered for eternity. And so they were okay with that. But like many of us, the Christian race, it's true, it's an endurance race. It's something that we have to take on a daily, day by day basis. The Bible says don't think about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Today has enough in its own. The Christian journey is meant to be taken one step in front of the other, one day after another day. Because of these things that try to move us off our position. Watch what he says. In verse 35, this is what we're going to discuss today. He says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. So we've seen in our last two studies about staying the course and faithfully following Christ. We looked at the danger of falling from the truth. And really this course, this highway, this track that we run on, it's a track of the truth. And as we begin to stray from that truth, from that track, we begin to get into areas that are very dangerous, areas where we can be sidetracked in our faith. Last week, we looked at the need for patient endurance, basically to keep going, to be persistent. And I really believe that one of the most important characteristics of a Christian that faithfully follows Christ is just the ability to keep going. Just keep going. Without any but this, but that, but that. Just keep going. And then the third point that we're going to look at this morning is to focus on faith. To focus on faith. And I want to really emphasize the word focus, because the whole next chapter, which is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, is about faith. But in order to faithfully, consistently follow Christ, it's going to require a focus. It's going to demand that we do something with our mind, that we learn to train our mind, to train it to stay focused on the object, on the prize, which ultimately is Christ. And we do that through faith. Why is that important? Because one of the ways Satan sidetracks us is through distractions, through making much ado about nothing. To make our minds focus and think about that in which in reality has nothing to do with our progression of faith. To be overcome or overwhelmed by the cares and concerns of this world. To be filled with anxiety and worry and what ifs and if that and all these question marks. And in the Bible, we're taught that God is taking care of all the question marks, and that our responsibility is to know who God is and to rest in Him and trust in Him, that He's taking care of that so that we can get on with the business of worshiping and loving our God. And so the Bible says to take every thought captive to what? To the obedience of Christ. What if we just did that one thing? What if we learned how to train our minds to not allow disobedient thoughts to take root in our minds. Again, take every thought captive or prisoner to the obedience of Christ, that our thought life would obey Christ. And yeah, there are sometimes these thoughts are thrown into our minds, and we can't control the initial thought of it, but we can control what happens when it enters. What are we to do? We're to take it captive. We're to make it a prisoner. We're not to allow it to run free like a murderer or a robber or a thief or what have you. We don't let them run free in our society, or we shouldn't. But how often do we do that in our own life? We let thoughts that are not in obedience to Christ begin to run rampant in and through our lives. When those begin to take root, our thought life, when they're not taken captive, they begin to create a reality that's not really a reality. Because you can't live in a reality based on thinking things that are not true. And so Paul says in the Philippians to think on these things that are true. It takes some training, doesn't it? Because, boy, we like to think about stuff, don't we? We like to imagine stuff. We like to use our minds, and we should in a good, productive way. But have you ever thought about the importance of training your mind to focus on Christ? See, the point is, and the point he's making, is so many get sabotaged in their Christian life because of what Satan does to their mind. What Satan speaks to them, doesn't the Bible say that Satan is the accuser of the brethren day and night? So he's sitting there and he'll whisper things to us, and he'll say things, and then it's up to us what to do with that. And Paul talks about he forgets what's behind, he presses forward, forgetting what's behind. To the upward calling, he has his focus on God and on the prize. But look at what the text says here. He emphasizes the need to focus on faith. He says, therefore, don't, in verse 35, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. You know what he's saying there? Don't regard as useless. Don't regard as ineffective your confidence. What does that word confidence mean? It means you're resting and trusting and relaxing in the finished work of Jesus Christ. He says, don't throw that away. Don't go back into some sort of works-based trying to please God. Don't think because you're going through a hard time, because you're struggling, don't think this Christian thing doesn't work. And now I'm going to go to my default mechanism of doing things on my own. He says, don't throw away your confidence or the free expression of who you are in the new life in Christ. What he's saying is he wants us to travel in, to relish in, to embrace fully all that Christ has done for us. Don't do anything that would set that aside. I find that interesting as I was studying and thinking about this. And knowing that there's so many ways that we throw away or regard as useless our confidence in Christ. We can get back into some sort of self-righteousness. Or we can go back into some sort of sin. Or we can think in some way or somehow that it doesn't matter. Or we think that there's no need for continual progression, which we'll talk about in a second. But what he wants us to know is that we should place great value resting all of our hope as people who are trusting in Jesus Christ for salvation. Think about that. If you're a Christian, you are trusting Jesus Christ to what? To forgive you of your sins. You are saying that he was able to do that, that he is worthy. You are saying that I am resting my eternity on this Jesus. If you think about it, that's pretty radical. That I'm trusting in him to the extent where I believe in him so that I don't go to hell. My eternity, I'm resting it on the finished work of Jesus Christ. And he's saying, now if you've done that, don't move away from that initial confidence, but we're to live our life like that too. And you can see as he's saying this, there, you may be thinking about things that you worry about, or things that you're afraid of or frustrated about, or things that have disappointed you in life that maybe have moved you off that position. Because life will have a tendency to do that. And God even will allow things in our life to test us in order to remove things that we're resting on or depending on that aren't even real. And those are areas we have to be so careful where we don't get so disappointed that we go back into some sort of self-life or some comfortable Christian existence that's not a radical following of Christ. That's one of the things that concerns me the most in my own life. That I would just sort of get to a place where I've figured out how to do the Christianity thing, but yet I'm not progressing fully, radically in the grace of God, that in some way, somehow, that you would not see that John is different than he was last year. Or my kids would say, well, Dad's, that's how he's always been. That bothers me. I want you to see that my faith is growing, that my love for Christ is growing, that I'm growing in grace and the knowledge of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that I'm more in love with him now than I was last year. But it's so easy to settle in and be satisfied with where we are and not keep our focus on what really matters. Isn't it amazing? One of the things I love to do is just maybe take an hour and read through like one whole book or something of the Bible. And you read through the Gospels like that. And it's like, wow, that is really radical, huh? Is it possible that what we see in the Bible, and if you're reading your one-year Bible, you're going through the book of Acts, and it's like, that is really radical. Have we watered that down? Have we become more cultural than biblical? Those are questions we have to ask ourselves. Those are all ways that we throw away the confidence that we have in our initial faith in Jesus Christ that would cause us to surrender our life to him. So he says, don't be moved away from that. Don't throw away this valuable, valuable commodity, which is fully resting all of our life in Christ, casting everything away, like Paul said, I count everything a loss, but for the surpassing greatness of the knowledge of God and to know him more fully and completely drives me. It motivates me. Because he says, if we throw away our confidence in verse 35, he says, we're throwing away our reward. He says this confidence, it brings a great reward. So as we stay focused on Christ, we train our minds not to let them get sidetracked and off track and caught up with meaningless things, but we're training it on Christ. And as we do that, we understand there's a great reward. Sometimes we can feel uncomfortable talking about that. Sometimes the prosperity gospel doctrine messes that whole thing up. But God wants us to know there are rewards, there are blessings. And ultimately, the ultimate blessing is Jesus Christ himself. And we have Jesus Christ and we know him. And he's given us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And we walk in that and we enjoy that. And we become people who are living above our circumstances, because we're living with our focus on the one who is in control of all the circumstances. And so we walk and we know that our life is going to mean something in eternity. That it really does. It really matters. Our acts of faith on the smallest level resonate into eternity. Look at verse 36. He says, for you have need of endurance. Do you guys know that? We need it. He says straight out, he said, hey, you're going to need endurance. What does that mean? That word means your ability to stay in the fire under pressure without bailing out. You're going to need this ability to keep going and not bail out, not quit, not to try to find an easier road. Because God is working, and that's one thing we have to be oh so careful to understand, that the sufferings and the pressures and the trials are God's way of making us into the completed people that he wants us to be. There's not another way. And so these sufferings, these trials, the Bible would say something like it, to take up our cross, to die to ourselves and to the world and all these false things. And when we do that, and when we respond by faith to the hard things in life, what happens is these things become fertilizer for our growth. They may smell to us. They may be stinky things in our life, but they are instruments of our growth and our development. Don't you wish there was an easier way? Don't you wish that God just snapped his fingers and said, instant Christian? Instantly sanctified. It'd be a lot easier, wouldn't it? But it wouldn't be the same. It wouldn't be the depth of the love that we would have for God and the depth of faith and trust. And then there wouldn't be the building up of our eternity and how we're going to spend it. He says in verse 37, I think a very important word. He says, for yet, what does that say next? A little while. Love that. You ever been in a trial and you just feel like it's endless? Never gonna stop. Doomed forever. I guess this is this way it's all gonna end up. But he says, for a little while. I think those words are very important, because we have to look at our life as little while. And if you've been one who's gone out past a trial, it's amazing how over time that huge thing that you thought was going to kill you doesn't seem as bad anymore. That looking back, sometimes it doesn't even seem like it's real. Imagine when you get to the finish line and you're right about to step into eternity. And you look back over your life and you look at all the things that happen and all the things that you've gone through. And I believe at that moment that'll be a moment where it'll just be okay. You know, it'll be, everything will be worth it. Everything will be so much closer to being put into full perspective once you get to that point, don't you think? And to live a life of faith, focused on faith, is to live a life with absolutely no regrets. Because things may not have turned out the way you thought or the way you wanted them to or the way you imagined them. But when you live by faith, they turn out exactly perfectly the way God made them. Isn't that much better? Because the Bible says that God will do exceedingly abundantly beyond all we can ask or think. And we may not fully realize the totality of everything that God is doing in our life. But the Bible says these light afflictions are not worthy to be compared to the future glory that will be revealed in us. And so it's really important that we learn to train our minds not to be so hyper-focused on the event or the thing or the circumstance, that we don't allow our minds to live there in the fertilizer, but through that we live our life in the heavenlies through faith with our focus on Christ. And as we do that, we'll get through by faith, and there will be a little while, there will be this great purpose that God is using this trial for, to do special specific things. But notice, it'll just be for a little while in regards to eternity. If you were to put eternity on a string, how much of that string do you think your life would measure? Wouldn't even measure, would it? It's such a vapor. And that's why he says, just keep focused on your faith. Verse 37, for yet a little while, and he who is coming will come, and he will not tarry. You know what he's saying? He's saying right now it seems so far, it seems so hard, it seems so difficult, but once it's on, it's on. Once that door opens, once it happens, everything that you and I have been approaching by faith will all become a reality just like that. Do you see why it's so important to focus on faith? Because once that ball rolls, there's no stopping it. And we're inching closer and closer. How close can we get to the rapture of the church? And we are inching there. And whether it's by rapture or death or whatever it may be, he is saying that when he's coming. And at that moment, it'll be all worth it. What he wants us to do is live by faith for that moment and not just constantly think about, oh, Monday is coming. Oh, I got to do this and I can't pay my bills. Don't waste your life worrying about those things. Focus on eternity, because it's going to be a little while, and when it comes, he will not tarry. Verse 38. He says, for the just shall live by faith, quoting from Habakkuk 2:4. So the just will live by faith. And then the last point, real quickly, as we focus on eternity, then you may be saying to yourself, well, that's just pie in the sky stuff. What's going to help me now? I need something now. I have to go to work tomorrow. I need something right now. Great for eternity, but what's going to help me now? What he wants us to do is focus on progress. Focus on growing. You see, I really, really believe that we devalue and don't put the same amount of importance on growth and progress as the Bible does. And that's why so often we get sidetracked by trials, because we don't see them as beneficial to us. But he's emphasizing this last point, that when we value growth above all things, you know how that takes a major card out of Satan's deck? You know how we take the legs out of Satan when we're looking at our life and the things that happen to us in regards to us growing in our relationship with God, which is the most important thing. And so we see all these things as beneficial to us. And the only way we do that is because we're living by faith, and God and eternity is more important than myself and my life in this world. So when we live by faith, now we value the eternal, we value the spiritual, we value our relationship with Christ. And so the things in this world that come our way that we don't like are all meant to contribute to what we should be valuing. Have you ever noticed the more it hurts is probably the more that we're holding on to something, the more we're not letting go. See, God's trying to change our value system. He's trying to get us to think like he thinks, to know what he knows. Jesus was tempted in Matthew 4. Basically, his temptations was to do something outside of the will of God. These temptations, Jesus didn't fall into, but because he was completely committed to the cause of his Father and the will of God in his life. And he lived completely selfless and completely for his Father in heaven. And so the last exhortation, he says, but if anybody draws back, and that word means it's like putting down the sails in your sailboat. He says, my soul has no pleasure in him. So God's saying that to the one who continues to progress in faith, God has great pleasure in that. And then he says in verse 39, he says, but we are not those who draw back to perdition. Perdition means destruction or waste. He says, and I like how he changes. Now he's saying we. This is a reality that goes on. People get sidetracked. People get all messed up. And this is a journey. And he's saying, but we are not that. That we are different. We are going to continue on in faith. He says, notice this last part. But we are those who what? What does that say? We believe to the saving of the soul. And I love that. Because he's saying this is the difference between somebody who falls away and somebody doesn't. This is the difference between somebody who continues to faithfully follow Christ until the very end. It's someone who keeps believing, not just for salvation, but they're believing Christ in their situation. Just as they've rested their eternity on Christ for salvation, they are resting their events of their life now on Christ. And when it all comes down to it then, the message of staying the course, of faithfully following Christ, is one of simple obedience. See, God will do the work of growth and development. He'll do all that. It's His responsibility. It's our responsibility to surrender to that process. And when we do, when we get down the road a little bit, we'll be able to look back on our life and we will see the faithfulness of God to do every single thing that He said in His Word that He would do. The Bible says, Philippians 1:6, that He who began a good work in us will be faithful to complete it till the end. It is of the utmost importance that you and I take the matters of faithfully following Christ as the most serious, important thing that we can do in life. There is absolutely nothing more important. No regrets to the one who gives their life to Christ and faithfully follows Him all the days of his life until eternity. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You so much. Lord, it's so easy to get sidetracked. I know all of us, in one way or another, have fallen into those traps. And I thank You, Lord, that You are ready, always ready to pick up the pieces to those who would come home. That You are always ready to receive the prodigal, to receive the wanderer, to receive the strayer, to receive the rebel. And Lord, I just want to pray first for those here, maybe some way, somehow, maybe they've gotten off track. I want to pray for them, Lord. Maybe some here have gotten off track really bad, fallen completely into sin. Maybe others have still, in their minds, have said that they are still a Christian, but yet, if they were honest, they would admit that they have left their first love. Maybe others here, Lord, have just gotten comfortable, complacent. Maybe some have a Christianity that just kind of works for them. Maybe some just haven't progressed. Maybe some have been sort of depending on their ability just to go to church every week and to tithe and to do their duty. And yet, Lord, like Matthew, You said to follow You, and he got up and left all and followed You faithfully. So, Lord, I want to pray for those here. And if you are in that category, and you would say that would, if I'm honest, that would be me. I'm not passionate. I'm not on fire. I'm not following Jesus like I used to or like I see in the Bible. I just want to pray for you. First step is just to acknowledge that that's you, to be honest before God. And let me just pray for you. Lord, I pray for the people that right now they don't want to continue living complacent lives, Lord. Maybe even lukewarm. I pray for them, Lord, that today would be a day that they surrender all to You. That they say, Lord, this life, You've given it to me, and now I give it to You fully and completely. Just like You say in Your Word, you have to lose your life to gain it back. So I want to pray for those who would say that today. And I ask, Lord, that today would be an incredible day for them. Today would be a day that they take a real step of faith to get beyond the walls of themselves or whatever barriers or restrictions that they've had to fully following you, that right now, right here, would be an incredible day where they are going to follow you all the days of their life. They're going to surrender everything to you, Lord. That they would say, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I thank you, Lord. And I also want to pray for anybody here this morning who, if they were to die today, they wouldn't know if they would be in heaven. Pray for anybody here who would say, you know, I want my sins forgiven. I want to go to heaven. Anybody here who has maybe had some sort of experience in church or maybe even an altar call, but yet they're wondering if they're truly born again, that if they were to die today, that they would know that they would be in eternity with you. And if that's you, or if you've never simply received Jesus Christ sincerely as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you that opportunity right now. You can do that right here, right in your seat, right where you are. Just say a simple prayer like this. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And Lord, now I turn from my sin in repentance unto you, Jesus, putting my faith in who you are, Jesus, and in what you did. That I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and that you rose again from the dead. That you are the only way to salvation. As you said, all who will believe, in no way will I cast out. If you prayed that prayer, meant it in your heart, if you're trusting in Jesus Christ for your salvation, the Bible says that you are saved. You are forgiven as if you've never, ever, ever sinned. We thank you, Lord, for the incredible work that you do in our world, in our town, in our church, through these vessels here this morning. We pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would help us to radically follow you. We pray that there would be a great turning of hearts in our community, that we would be great lights shining in a dark world, Lord. And we do pray that you would come quickly as we're told to do. Maranatha, Lord, come quickly. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ across the world who are suffering great persecution, even violent death for their faith, Lord. We pray great encouragement upon them. We pray for our country, Lord. There would be a great turning back to you. Lord, we're desperate for you. We need you so bad, Lord. We're lost without you. But our hope is in you, God. We pray this, and all God's people said, amen. All right, let's stand. And we're going to sing one last song. If anybody would like prayer about anything, if you prayed to receive Christ, or if you prayed to turn your life back to Christ, there are going to be people in the back corner to my right, your left. They would love to just pray for you. So take the opportunity while we're singing this last song, just go on back there and pray with those people and get started into your new profession of faith or your new recommitment to Christ. God bless you guys. Happy Father's Day. To God be the glory. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. What a great day. What a great worship. And what a great word. Gosh, wasn't that a great word? And what a great Father's Day. Yeah. Okay, guys, let's all go home, lay down on the couch, and watch some sports. All right. God bless you all. We'll see you Wednesday night.